your game face on. Get ready for the tip-off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show. We bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you're playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause you're speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports, so what's popping? It's four quarters of absolute rawness. It's if you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's.
That's right, all balls don't bounce. Episode 74. You know, we're on the cusp of something special.
75th, but we have to deal with the episode Bob Lilly, Mr. Cowboy, okay, episode 74.
Because I was going to get to a little 2020 anniversary, you know, because that's what it would be.
True enough. But, you know. 75th. But on 74, it's episode Jonathan Garvey. You know who that is?
No, I don't.
Merlin Olsen when he was on House of the Prairie, yeah. Yo.
Oh, cow.
Come on. So, you know, of course, is also episode Terry Long.
It's all about the line.
Do you know who Terry Long is? We'll talk about him later because of this documentary.
Oh, yeah.
The League of Denial. He was a former Steeler on the
offensive line. You're talking 74, you've got to be talking about a whole lot of NFL players.
Well, we might be talking about Paul Coffey in his last year in Boston as well.
Yeah, but come on. You can't use it. Yeah, you know,
74 was like kind of whack when he wore 77 his whole
exactly, career. Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
But hey, but it's me, Dwayne Tweets Watson.
And it is I, Mr. Just Hold On, We're Going Home, the entrepreneurionaire, Wall Street, Will Strickland, in the house once again, where all balls don't bounce.
I'm going to take a little sidebar here because, you know, hip-hop always permeates our dialogue on this show.
That it does.
Kendrick Lamar, Drake. Should Drake fire back?
No. When you
Listen.
He can't fire back. I don't think he should. That's a whole nother conversation. This verse he just spit on Nostalgia with Pusha T. Disgusting.
But I'm talking about the 15 seconds, not 15 bars, the 15 seconds that he put on that BT cipher where he directly went at Drake. Nothing was the same. The whole line, all that stuff.
That's like, cool that's, too.
That's like, you got to say something. Because it's hip-hop.
What is he going to say?
It's hip-hop.
What is Drake going to say?
Yo, Control, you could say whatever. Like, oh, you know, that was great. It was good for hip-hop.
I like that he didn't respond. I like that Drake did not respond because every ass out of the ground rapper who nobody's talking about made their responses to it, and they did nothing.
No, I agree with you. Control was not worthy. Control is not a song people would respond to. He was waking up the industry. Now, with this 15-second snippet, I want to hear the whole thing.
Oh, he's going to say...
He went right at Drake. You know,
Drake is going to say something, although I wouldn't necessarily.
But he has to.
He has to because the same way that Drake, whether you believe he directly or subliminally, took shots at Jay-Z, talking about, you know, looking at the throne and wanting to take the belt and straps and everything else. He has to address King Kendrick.
But Kendrick is still going to eat him at the end of the day.
Of course. Like, dude is not. Well, you know, Drake is not, he's not bad going at people. But, I mean.
Kendrick is a monster. I mean, this is like, Drake is the biggest artist in rap music.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, right
and
now.
Kendrick is the most illest lyricist he's in hip hop.
Dude, his 10-9 scheme in that Nostalgia. If you have an opportunity, we're going to post it too. Nostalgia off the Pusha T album. My Name Is My Name. Word to Marlo Stanfield. But, you know, as we always do, Mr. Watson, the housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Definitely on the Twitter sphere at ABD Media. Facebook.com/ABD Media. Hit us up at allballsdontbounce@gmail.com. We are still reading those emails. iTunes Music Store. And definitely find us and subscribe on
Stitcher Radio. Oh, yeah. Yo, shout out to Gerald Wilkes, man. He was like, I'm fiending, yo. My man Omar, fiending, yo. What's up? My man Mike was here, who definitely gave a special contribution to the show this week. Of course, always Magnum Prime. who's out there. These guys are like fiending for the show. Says he's been a Canadian winner since the last time we put an episode out. But, you know, we're trying to get our house together so we can invite you over.
Just in time for Fake Thanksgiving.
No doubt. JV Thanksgiving. D League Thanksgiving. as we call it here on the show. Also called the Columbus Day, which I don't know how you celebrate Columbus Day.
Why? It's almost like, why would you really? But
well, how would you go out and murder indigenous people?
Wow.
I'm trying to figure it out. I guess, you know.
Tell us how you celebrate Columbus Day.
Yeah, that's almost at gmail.com. But also, lots of goings on. Like I said, we are trying to get our house together so we can invite you over. Raptors game night.
Yeah.
On doing TSN, things on TSN.
1050. Because you can't stream it online because David Stern is very particular about who gets to listen to games. So he's got league pass going.
It's all good. You know, we've been going to a couple events.
Yeah.
You know, we had the...
Oh, wait. But we're getting ready. Also, you know, on the TSN tangent, we're getting ready for another season one-on-one with Will Dwayne.
Yes, because we want to offer the news, views, and truths that you choose.
There you go.
On the NBA and beyond. In addition, Fila, if you guys don't remember, they had a foot in the game in basketball in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, especially with the likes of Jerry Stackhouse and Jamal Mashburn.
Yep.
But they relaunched the Grand Hill 2 at the Battershue Museum. We were a part of that. So shout out to Fila Canada and those guys.
Oh, don't forget, we've got KJ. Kevin Johnson was also as well.
God, his shoes were ugly.
No, they weren't. Those guys, those were not bad. Come on. You like those less than spaghettis?
I like the camel spaghettis.
You saw those, eh?
I'm trying to get a couple of pairs of those to give away on the show.
Why don't you have your boy,
Stackhouse, doesn't care. I've already tried to work that out. They're going to do a reissue of them in 2014. But we were there.
Yeah.
As well as welcoming Hall of Fame basketball player and Cougar High graduate.
Enemy.
My view of H.
Sworn enemy.
Sworn enemy.
Of Rice.
Clyde the Glide Drexler on One-on-One, the premiere episode.
Yeah, we did a special sit-down interview with Clyde the Glide. He was great.
After this NBA Big Tour dunk contest that we judged with Mr. Drexler. And we had a great time with him. If you get an opportunity, check out the show, One-on-One with Will and Dwayne on TSN 1050.
Yeah, keep him busy.
Yeah, trying to. But let's set this thing off. We call All Balls Don't Bounce.
Well, we're talking about our involvement in the sports media. Let's talk about a big NBA show on TV in the sports media. Gone through a little restructuring?
I would say they've gone through some restructuring and reprogramming. And it's all because of the nefarious power of one William Simmons.
I know. Wow.
If you didn't know, NBA Countdown on ABC /ESPN, they've lost a couple of players on the team.
Yeah, They basically, management, as I'm using my infamous air quotes.
Management.
Wanted to relegate some players to the D League. They did that to Chris Broussard last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Albon was the candidate this time. Well, Mr. Wilbon.
Mike Wilbon has been diminished on the show. And as a result, one of the most loyal teammates on the squad decided he was going to leave. The way they polished it up. And said he had other commitments, Irvin Magic Johnson. He's going to leave the panel. And a lot of people are saying, including you.
Well, the tension you can feel between Mr. Johnson and Mr. Simmons, you could cut with a Rambo knife.
Well, let's be clear. Bill Simmons should not be on a panel with Magic Johnson talking about basketball at any point ever.
But don't you make it seem, I'm not taking an iota away from Johnson, his legacy, Hall of Fame thing.
You can't.
But he's not the most
eloquent fellow.
Exactly.
We
exactly.
That.
So that's
not his forum, though. That's
right,
not his forum.
But so you're trying to say only like players in his caliber could be on this panel?
No, I'm saying that he shouldn't.
Why can Wilbon be on it?
No, he shouldn't be arguing with Magic Johnson about basketball stuff. It's like Larry Merchant arguing with Roy Jones Jr. or Floyd Mayweather about boxing. He's never taken a punch in his life. Have you ever seen Bill Simmons play basketball?
Yeah,
he's funny.
He's an almost Y player.
No, he's terrible. He's terrible, right? Sorry.
But hey, hold on. Wait. You're dissing all the geeks.
No,
you're dissing all the analytics because the new wave of analytics guys are not even basketball guys. They're just guys who read and study the game and the analytics and break it down.
That's great.
And they don't play the game. So, and honestly, Bill Simmons, he's not a super analytic guy, but he's part of that new wave of basketball
media. He's employing all of those analytics guys for the most part, including like Zach Lowe and those guys. And
new wave basketball media that's kind of taking over the media.
Well, we see what it is. You know, I guess he is now the Nate Silver of the NBA situation right now, because Bill Simmons has a new crew. No more Magic. No more Wilbon.
Jalen, of course.
Jalen was... He's going to stay.
Yeah.
He's champagning and campaigning with Bill all day.
Uh-huh.
But now included in the mix is Miss Basketball, Doris Burke, who I respect greatly.
I think she's great. We're both big fans of her.
Yeah.
My only concern is that... And Doris Burke is not the fill-in for Magic, because that, you know, she was in the mix already. But who replaces what... You know, Doug Collins is going to be a part of this as well, which was right. announced, you know, since he retired. But I feel taking away Magic, where you have a player, a storied player who can give that perspective, Jalen's there, but Jalen's not on that level.
And you have a coach like Doug Collins, though. But Doug Collins was a pretty good player in the NBA and a decent coach as well. So I think you get a little bit of both. And he was still a recent coach. He wasn't a coach who coached in the 80s.
No, for sure.
You know, well, he had a team in Philly, and he got this ragtag bunch.
Yeah, but he's a little sour now. The latest, I don't know if you heard, he's like, I'm not coaching again. The game's changed. The demands of players, I don't like it. So
unless he coaches with his son at Northwestern, that's the only way
he's still lobbying for that.
I think he should be there, but whatever the case might be. The new team at NBA Countdown on ESPN/ABC. We're going to welcome them, of course. They will never be as good as
NBA on
TNT. It's not even close.
No. But and I mean, hey, you can't be, but whatever.
So, as we move on, and I guess through the news cycle, it's convenient that we're talking about cycling right now.
Right, of course.
And our friend talking about cycling, friend,
you always got to talk about Lance Armstrong.
This is the only thing in cycling we know. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can talk about cycling
or doping.
That too, right? But I guess what's been ruled, and if you guys hadn't heard about this yet, is that a federal judge has ruled in the favor of Lance Armstrong.
That's the first.
Why did he get the ruling?
Well, there's a number of people who were felt that the stuff he told his autobiography, which at the time... Well, they were lies, period.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, he held on to that lie.
Right.
And they felt they were lied to. They felt that his autobiography was based on lies. And was it a $7.5 million lawsuit?
Yeah. He got bonus money from the insurance company that paid him for the defamation suit.
Wow.
When he sued this, a newspaper in London.
Right.
The Sunday Times or whatever the case might be. And now they found out that he was doping, so now he has to pay them back. But the judge said he could lie in his own book.
But he can't lie in real life. He can lie in his own book.
Just in his book. Like, we know it's make-believe.
Should they move the books to the fiction section?
Absolutely. 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 If they had a section for habitual line steppers, Lance Armstrong should be there. But anyway, speaking about line stepping... In Italy, just recently.
We know our European friends are always very good for that. Yes. We can always count on them to, you know, speak their minds.
Well, let's not lump in all of Europe. In this particular case, Italy, a beautiful place.
Of course.
Beautiful people.
And beautiful women.
For the most part, of course. There was a young lady by the name of...
Simone Biles.
What's her name?
Simone Biles.
Simone Biles. She just won. She's the first black woman to ever win the World All-Around Championship in gymnastics.
Yep.
And while she was competing, a couple of the Italian, I guess, competitors made a statement, including one Vanessa Ferrari and what was the young lady's name?
Carlotta Ferlito.
Yes, Ferlito.
So they just finished fourth in the balance beam.
Fourth and fifth, respectively.
And they're speaking. I don't think they're speaking in Italian, because obviously everyone knew what they were saying. And Felito said with a laugh, "I told Vane that next time we'll have our skin black, also so we can win too."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so I guess he won because he was black.
There you go.
Wow.
And of course this comes on, you know, like last year's champion was Olympic champion.
Yes, Gabby Douglas. And, you know, they have a minister in the Italian parliament who I think is Ghanaian or Nigerian by birth.
Okay.
And they were throwing bananas at her in session.
In session?
In session.
So hold on. You mean to tell me other politicians were throwing, or was it the Gowers?
Yes.
Was it the Gowers?
I don't know. Hey, you know what?
It doesn't matter.
Civil the people. Fact that, the fact of the matter is, she was solving the world's problems in Italy, and they're throwing bananas at this black lady who apparently people believe nothing her to elect her, but they throw bananas at her.
That's crazy.
But hey, you know.
Ferlito has since apologized.
Of course. Apologized. I mean, well, of course.
You know.
Right.
But then it got a little added further because the Italian Gymnastic Federation on Facebook, David Chiarelli, he made some comments.
In the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah.
And what exactly did he say? He said the reason why she won was, you know, talking about attributes about race and different athletes and their abilities based on race. So, you know, the nature versus nurture thing came up and he really was way out of bounds instead of just letting it be what it was.
Yeah, and he didn't do this on his own Facebook page. He did it on the Federation's page, which made, you know, so of course, you know.
There's a lot of feet.
There's a lot of boots and mouths in Italy right now.
Yes, boots and mouths, and including one boot to the ass of the sack leader from last year's NFL championship, well, not championship team, but the NFC champions, the San Francisco 49ers, mm-hmm. Alden Smith, who was stopped a couple of weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken,
yes, sir.
With weed and all kinds of drugs and pills in his car, and of course, guns.
When is it never?
When I say, of course, guns.
Of course.
And now he's up. He was charged with the felony, felony gun charges.
Yeah.
He could face up to 4 years plus in prison. And you best believe if Michael Vick went to jail for killing dogs, even though there's no direct link between Michael Vick actually being at the place and killing the dogs, this dude is going to do time.
Well, yeah. He was caught red-handed. So he's going to – they're probably – I mean
– one of your defensive leaders, somebody you depend on, somebody who helped you get to the Super Bowl last year is going to be gone. That's a big blow to the 49ers.
This question comes up a lot, but how does this happen? And why does this happen?
Why are you asking? Like, no, seriously. Okay, I'm above the law. I'm in the NFL. You know,
you're right.
Some of my old habits may have died hard.
Yeah.
I need to protect myself. So whether they were registered or not, he's carrying around multiple guns. It's not like he's in a, you know, Terminator movie. So, yeah, you know, I feel bad for him. He's a young guy.
Hey, even if he gets off, Goodell is going to have something to say about this.
Well, he has to.
Of course.
And I don't think he'll get off. I don't think he'll get off. To be totally honest with you, if you put he got multiple charges for the weapons.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, okay, we're going to give you probation for the weapons.
Well, and also, this isn't his first incident with the law, which never helps your case.
No, not at all.
You know, last month, a man said he was shot at a party that Smith was holding.
So, again, that's one of those death by association type deals or guilt by association. Not death. Nobody died. They just got shot. Just got shot. That's all. But, no, I feel bad for Alden Smith because he's a great young player. And I think that he may have just taken away some quality years from his career as a result of, you know, a moment's, you know, not thinking clearly and doing the wrong thing here. But
well, that seems to be a theme. So
why is that?
Not thinking clearly, doing the wrong thing.
Why is that?
Brantford, Ontario, home of the greatest hockey player that's ever lived.
The great one, Wayne Gretzky.
Of course there's a statue of Gretzky in Brantford because
there are statues of Gretzky at the Walmart, the Tim Hortons. I'm sure there are statues everywhere of Wayne Gretzky. But this one in particular is in front of his hockey rink, isn't it?
Yep. And it was vandalized.
What?
So there's a picture
Someone would vandalize the statue of the great Wayne Gretzky in his hometown?
It's actually not the statue. It's the statue of a young Gretzky because there's a picture. The statue in front of Gretzky holding the cup, and then watching Gretzky holding a cup is his parents and a young Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, I know who did it then.
Who did it?
His brother Keith. Had to be his brother, yo. Hating. Hating on him.
It is his daughter's boyfriend.
True enough. Or any of the guys who hate that he's trying to cut her off on Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah.
Twitter or whatever.
She engaged, I think she engaged like a tennis. She engaged like a golfer.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Like a real. Like
she's still going to put her titties on the screen, so it doesn't matter.
So, yeah, someone spray painted the trope.
That's a violation of all things holy and Canadian at the same time.
There you go.
Well, this definitely is one of those things when we talk about kids, you're talking about, you know, Wayne Gretzky's daughter and Wayne being a young guy. There's a young kid from Japan who was signed in your beloved footy by the Real Madrid. He's 9 years old.
You know,
his nickname is Pippi.
I like that, though. I like that.
Why? Because when he gets older, you're still going to call him Pippi?
Yeah, it's like a Brazilian name. I actually thought it was Brazilian until I saw his real name, which is Takuhiro Nakai.
Very good.
Close enough. Man. He's got crazy skills, but it's always weird when you see a football. And he's 9 years old.
So, basically, Italy is, well, it's actually in Spain. So, fuck a child labor law. Forget about that.
Fuck a child labor law.
If you can sign him to a contract, he can't even pee straight, but he can sign a contract to play soccer. Cool.
Yeah. And you never really know. I mean, remember Freddie Adu was all the talk when he came out and he didn't turn to the next.
Freddie Adu became Freddie Adu-Du. But we want to send happy trails and best of luck to one Tracy McGrady, who decided to retire.
You know what?
From the NBA. I don't know if that's really retiring. If you say you're going to retire from the NBA.
No, he actually, he's not going to China. He said he's not. See, now I feel good about this because I was kind of a little like, this is a conditional retirement. He said, I'm not playing in China.
That's like Too Short retiring or Jay-Z retiring from rap, right?
Well, no, that's like them saying, no, that's like Jay-Z saying, I'm retiring from, no, that's like Drake saying, I'm retiring from rapping and I'm only going to do R&B. Because it was a partial.
So are you dissing Chinese basketball by saying that?
Well, when people retire from a competitive sport, they retire from a competitive sport. Right. Not just from a league
unless
that you're washed up in.
All right, so what if you retire from, like, football, but you play a pro-am golf?
That's okay, because you're retiring from football.
Okay.
But now Tracy has said...
So now you're dissing competitive or golf as not being competitive.
No, what I'm saying is he's retiring from one sport.
Okay.
Like, the sport that he's been known for, he's stepping away from it. And he is. And, you know, injuries, you know, kind of.
Injuries and bad teams. When he played on that team in Orlando.
Yeah, but he chose to go. I mean, okay.
The money, yo. The money.
Well.
If you're, come on, dude. If you're 21 years old and somebody offers you $120 million to play basketball or stay in Toronto and possibly win a championship with my cousin. But I make way less than he makes.
So are you going to put this on a 21-year-old? Or are you going to say the people around
him? I'm just asking the question. I'm asking you, if you were in the same position, you had an opportunity to make this money and have your own team as opposed to being a second banana on the team that really had two second bananas. And McGrady and Vince Carter. Let's be real about it.
But that 2-1-A's could have made a nice little... Anyways,
yeah, what could have... I would have taken that money too.
He had a 5-minute stint where he was like one of the best in the league.
Easily. There was a time when they used to talk about Kobe and Tracy McGrady on the same plane.
Yeah.
And now they just take the same plane when they go to the All-Star game or something. But that's a whole other thing, right? But congrats to Tracy McGrady. Best of luck in your new life.
He almost got a chip with the Spurs.
Yeah. That wouldn't even count. I think he wouldn't even take that ring. But who has multiple rings from her time in the WNBA is... I think 4-time champion or 3-time champion, Tina Thompson.
I think she's 4-time.
Yeah, I know she won a bunch in Houston.
Yeah, which...
With the Comets.
Of course.
And Cynthia Cooper.
Yeah, who she was like the... You got to remember...
The all-time leading scorer in WNBA history.
How many years did she play for?
Like, Tina Thompson played... Like, she played since they've been around.
Yeah.
I think 17 years.
Yeah, 17-year career, which is... And you got to remember, she was also probably playing over in...
Oh, she was.
Overseas.
That's where the real money is.
Exactly.
So 4 NBA titles, she scored. She's the only player in WNBA history with 7,000 points and 3,000 rebounds.
So this is 17 years of solid. This is 17 years of, like, you know, summers off. There's no summers off.
No. Moment. So she's done work for a long time.
She's been wearing lipstick like all year round.
Dude, Max should have her in like her
for real. Ads. She needs an endorsement.
Her lips look like an ad. Her lips are big. Those two coolers are the truth. But
hey,
whatever the case.
All the best.
All the best to Tina Thompson. Rest in Paradise go out to Tommy Gunn, a.k.a. Tommy Morrison, who, whether you believe he had AIDS or not, he was once a heavyweight titleist. I will never call him a heavyweight champion, because when you have the NABF Neighborhood Championship belt, I can't call you the champ. The
backyard boxing champ.
The backyard boxing, you know what I mean? The round the way fillet champ. Like, come on, dog. Whatever. But he did beat George Foreman, if you want to call it that, even though George Foreman was about 912 years old. And that knockout against Ray Mercer.
What does that make George now?
It makes him the Hamburglar. Shout out to my son.
So the question is Tommy Gunn's character going to be reprised in this Rocky remake too?
Please, God. No. Please,
like maybe
no.
The son of Tommy Gunn?
No. No. But Rest in Paradise 2, the great-grandson or great-nephew of Marion. What was John Wayne's real name? Marion something.
John Wayne. You know, hero the most.
Well, actually,
but
I guess.
Didn't mean.
Right.
Sorry, Elvis was hero the most. My bad.
Yes, yes, yes. Rest in paradise and rest in power to Nick Pasquale from the UCLA Bruin football team. He was tragically killed in a, I think it was a hit and run or struck by a driver in his hometown of San Clemente.
Yeah.
Which keeps coming up somehow.
And because, it will continue to keep coming up.
Yeah. No, San Clemente is what I'm talking about. That's a whole other conversation.
That's what I meant. Yeah, we'll keep up later. Keep coming up.
Absolutely. But, you know, rest in paradise to Nick Pasquale. Also, young man, 16 years old, died after a hit on the field. His name was Damian Chains. Upstate New York football player. Had a head-on collision.
Stories gonna like be those beacons for people to start talking about safety in football and you know helmet to helmet hits and you know
it's too late for that. They've already started talking about it. I mean, whether they even want kids to play. There's a school in Long Island that won't let kids play with balls at school.
Any kind of ball
because of injuries. Well, I don't know if they can restrict all ball play. Because young boys go in the bathroom and do what they do.
Just tell them all balls don't bounce.
Exactly.
What about pucks?
I don't know if pucks bounce like that.
No, but are pucks forbidden from you know injuries? I mean,
I have no idea, but they can't play with their balls in school anymore. At any rate, you know, rest in power to Damian James. Rest in power to Earl Morton, the referee, boxing referee who died at the age of 58. Most notably was the ref in the Arturo Gatti, Mickey Ward trilogy, the last one, I guess the last fight, and also the Mickey Ward, Floyd Mayweather murder that happened because Arturo Gatti should have never been in a ring with him. Rest in power to Hollywood Bags.
L.C. Greenwood,
Yellow Shoes, part of the Steel Curtain who passed away. It's sad that he's not in the Hall of Fame. I can't believe he is not in the Football Hall of Fame. With all those guys in those Steelers teams from the 70s who were on the Hall of Fame, he should have been there already.
You know what, though? The Hall of Fame for football is very selective. I mean, the NFL Hall of Fame is not.
Damn near the whole Steel Curtain is in the Hall of Fame, dude.
And that's what the Steel Curtain should be in there, period.
As a team, as a body.
They should be in there.
But, you know, hopefully he'll get. And I think he will because it's sad that he had to pass to get that nomination, which I think he will get next year. But rest in power to L.C. Greenwood. And, of course, no show would be complete without saying goodbye to Mandingo.
Yep.
Ken Norton, Jr. He's still coaching for Seattle. But his father, Ken Norton, passed away. He was one of the great heavyweights from the 70s. Gave Muhammad Ali fits.
Yeah.
And he passed away after a long battle with, I think he had cancer and he had complications from a stroke. And he was just suffering from that for years. And now he's hopefully in a better place. When people say, I hope he's in a better place, what is that place? Because no one's ever been and come back to tell us where that is.
I think it's a place of not suffering and being in pain.
Absolutely. So, congratulations, as we talk about boxing, to the Boxing Hall of Fame nominees for this year, including Oscar De La Hoya and Felix Trinidad, who, you know, if fortunes would have been changed if Oscar would have won that fight against Felix. That was supposed to be like the great, the latest, greatest mega fight right. since, you know, Hagler-Hearns or Leonard Hearns won, whatever the case might be. It didn't turn out to be that great. Oscar had won the fight, and then he quit down the stretch. He just did not box.
Yeah.
And he lost to Felix Trinidad. So they'll talk about that when they go in.
Of course.
As well as Joe Calzaghe and some other guys who are going in. But congrats to them. Congrats to Rafa and Serena. Sometimes when we talk about greatness, we wait until, you know, the player is done with their career or whatever the right. case might be. We're witnessing greatness in these two young people. And I say young people because we're older than them, one. But that they're still so vibrant and so good that they're beating people, especially Serena.
Well, what happens, I think, is her performance sets a bar that we just become used to. And it's so good that we're like, oh, you know, if she goes and does it, it's like we expect that from her.
Right.
So you're right. It's hard sometimes to step back and recognize what she's doing and how...
And how many times she and her sister have stepped away from tennis and come back and still, over 30, which is... For people who started in the early teens in the sport and are still dominant years later, respect due. Rafa Nadal is a different story. I thought once Federer was done, and for the most part, he's done.
Right.
That Djokovic and Nadal would rule tennis for the next how many years?
Yep.
It's clear that Nadal has now mastered every surface now.
Right. And can win on every surface. He's been a guy for the longest time.
And now you can't stop him.
Yeah.
He may break this the slam title. That's crazy. And he'll be 27 by the time he does it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But, you know, shout out to both of them. I can't believe how good they are. And I just wanted to say thank you to them. And also, want to give a shout out to the Kang and his Quang, who got married back in September.
Did you get an invite?
No.
Wow.
Why?
Just because you're a big supporter. You're a little concert to the King. I'm surprised you didn't get an invite.
Well, you know, we had a conversation.
Okay, all right.
And, you know, I was just on the edge of the list.
Exactly.
On the edge of the list.
Yeah, like, you know, the Jay-Z came in and bumped you down. And it was
basically,
like,
that's how it happened. It was Jay-Z and then the dude who bought the extra toilet tissue for, you know, the bathroom that might have been overflowing.
And then Mario Chalmers got in, and then...
Mario's going to be there. But Norris Cole, he and I had beef because I didn't know if he was going to make it. Whatever the case might be, congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. LeBron Raymond James.
I wonder if Dexter Pittman got invited.
No.
You never know. I'm kidding.
He tried to clothesline me to get in. So. happy birthday shouts out to the first black champion of golf, Althea Gibson. Who also had a birthday while we were away for our 2.5 month hiatus. Hubert Jude Brown had a birthday.
Oh, yes.
He will teach you. Did you know that Hubie Brown, Bob McAdoo, Scottie Pippen, and Chauncey Billups were all born on the same day?
I didn't, but I did discover something, being you the middle name king that you are. Marvin Williams, the maligned forward in Utah.
Yes.
Do you know what his middle name is?
No, I do not. I don't care about Marvin Williams.
I know you don't. I know you don't, but his middle name is Gay. G-A-Y-E.
Are you serious? Marvin Gay Williams?
I'm dead serious.
Wow.
Anyways.
The more you know.
There you go. So now you have to find a way to talk with him just so you can say Marvin
Gay Williams. Oh, you know I'm going to say that on the air eventually. happy birthday shouts out to Mario Lemieux. What do they call him? Super Mario? Is that better than the great one? Nah. Super is not better than great.
But it's Super Mario because the Nintendo was hot. It's like the Toronto Raptors.
But is Super better than great?
No, and that's why.
All right, so Superman is not better than, like, Great
Gatsby?
Or something like that. I'm just asking. Right? Patrick Waugh, who also has a birthday the same day as Mario Lemieux.
Patrick Waugh is still being badass these days as a coach.
Apparently, but I think, you know, he's a Bush League guy. I don't like that kind of stuff. And I liked him as a goalie. Don't tell anybody I like that.
He's good.
Grant Hill had a birthday. We talked about him earlier.
Yes, sir.
Brett Favre. He had a birthday. He and Dale Earnhardt probably share Wranglers on the same day because they have the same birthday as well. I'm just saying. And of course, one of the greatest golfers, male or female. You want to say to strap them up, but what do you strap up? Your shoes? Like your golf bag?
To swing.
To swing it. But you can say it's a couple of things if you say swing it, too. So
yeah, right, yeah.
We can't say that either. Annika Sorumstam.
To tee off.
tee off. There you go. Okay. Annika Sorumsen, who had a birthday just recently. So shouts out to her. Speaking about great female athletes and icons in sport, there's a woman, if you don't know who she is, her name is Bev Curley.
And not to just interject briefly, when you say great too, it's also consistency is key to that. Not just doing, you know, being great and doing something, like having a legacy of continued success.
Yeah.
Achieve that greatness.
Yeah. Well, the legacy is built on what, though? And I said Curley, and I should have said Kearney. Bev Kearney was the women's track and field coach at the University of Texas. It hurts my mouth just to say that name.
Gosh.
Hey, Southwest Conference, baby. Go Owls. At any rate. Who was fired unceremoniously because of an affair. Light of an affair had come up that she had 10 years prior. Now, the fact of the matter is there are a bunch of angles to this.
Right.
Coach Kearney, who's never been a person to hold her tongue.
Right.
Was very loyal to the University of Texas, even though she wouldn't take any shit as well. So, you know, there are other black administrators on the campus who were like, Bev, you got to cool out. You're going to get us all fired. She had to make a decision. Did I come to kick ass or kiss ass?
Right.
We found out she came to kick ass. And she made that program one of the best in the country.
Yeah, I mean, her resume is she produced more Olympic contenders than NCAA champions than any other track coach in the history of Texas.
Male or female.
Three-time NCAA coach, outdoor coach of the year, two-time NCAA indoor coach of the year, and 15-time conference coach of the year.
Sick.
So.
Sick.
The resume speaks for itself.
No doubt. And as it stands, and there's kind of like this unwritten taboo that if you're an administrator or a teacher or professor or whatever the case might be, you're at a university, that a relationship with a student or student athlete, whatever the case might be, while not necessarily illegal, is frowned upon.
Kind of like priests and choir boys?
Yeah. But
yeah.
that's kind of written in stone. That one is. There's nothing in the bylaws of the University of Texas that says that you can't have a consensual relationship. Right. But in this case, right. In this case, she was fired because she had one. But, you know, there are two sides to every story. Three when you include the truth. And the University of Texas is saying that she was fired because of the violation of NCAA rules. But at the same time, what rules? Did she give this young lady who she had the affair with a brand new Jetta? Who, if she was MC Light, that would have been a dope car.
Oh, yeah. And
you remember that car? Hell in yeah. That video?
Yeah.
Dope Jetta. You got out of this dope Jetta to get on the train?
Yeah.
Anyway. She gave her car and gifts and took her on trips and everything. And I think that was the violation they talked about. But really, she thought it was more about the affair. And there was a football coach and former player of U of T,
right.
Major Applewhite. Who was caught up in the same kind of deal. They suspended him for the rest of the year. And then the next year brought him back and gave him a big raise.
Yeah.
So she asked for a raise because she had been so successful.
Contract negotiation. She wanted to go from $280,000 to $400,000 based on what she's done.
Right. And they're like, nah, can't do it. Ain't nothing happened.
Oh, and by the way, we got this little incident in your past. There.
Yeah, but you know, supposedly knew about it for years.
10 years. Which I think actually she brought forward.
Well, no, it was actually the young lady who she was in the affair with, because while we're trying to paint the full picture here of Bev Kearney as this great coach, she was also, you know, utilized her power for evil as well.
Right. According well, power to power corrupts, right?
Yeah. Well, absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? And she had the power in that she could help you get to the Olympics and become a pro in track and field. And she abused that power. So it's going to be very interesting how this turns out, because there's sexism, there's racism, there's all types of stuff here. And of course,
there's also a lawsuit, because she's given U of Texas a lot of years, a lot of success. And
did you know that the young lady who she supposedly had the affair with, well, not supposedly.
She had the affair with.
Had the affair with, is also suing?
She's suing Kearney.
she's suing U of T as well.
Oh, really?
Because of how she was treated in the whole episode, right? So this is going to be something we will follow here on All Balls Don't Bounce. And as the story turns, I think we posted it. Shout out again to Magnum Prime for, you know, the share. And I think it was a great story. And if you have an opportunity to read it, it's a pretty long read, but it's a solid read.
Definitely a good read.
Check it out.
So,
yes, sir.
On the college, on the NCAA front is still.
Yeah.
Big news.
What big news did we have?
You know what? Let's step back, though. Do you remember last year when a certain writer for a certain magazine talked about Andrew Wiggins? You know, this is, you know, he'd followed him and talked about his game and
criticism. I don't know if it was last year. I think it was earlier this year.
Earlier this year. Didn't he write for Sports Illustrated?
Pete Thamel.
Right.
Yes.
Lo and behold, who's in the cover of Sports Illustrated?
The freshman. Not Matthew Broderick, of course.
And Andrew Wiggins, from Wilt to Manning to Wiggins.
I like that. I like those socks, too. They were disco.
Yeah.
Is he wearing Jordans,
though? No, they're Adidas. They look like nines, but they're
Adidas. Oh, yeah. I looked at them.
I know.
The most touted freshman in college since Durant, would you say? The most highly touted freshman in college since Durant.
I don't know if Durant was this highly touted. And maybe because I'm a little biased, whatever.
Since.
Was he?
Durant had heat. Kevin Durant had heat, yo. He had heat.
All right.
And I don't know if it's this kind of heat, though. I don't remember him being on the cover until he started winning games at Texas.
Or maybe he's playing a game?
Yeah. You know, because he hadn't played a game yet.
Yeah, and also Andrew Wiggins got named to an all-conference. Preseason
you know
all conference.
You know who was also named a preseason All-American before they ever played a game?
Who's that?
Harrison Barnes.
That's right. He's the only one.
And what did he do? Nothing. So this is one of those, you know, feast or famine things for Andrew Wiggins, who has to live up to the hype because there are reports that he's not even the best freshman in practice right now.
But you know what, though? I think
when the lights come on, it's a different thing. I get that.
I think, you know, he's been having to live up to the hype for the last 4 years.
Absolutely.
And I think he's ready to. I think, you know, the level of competition he's faced has allowed him to coast at some points. I think now he knows. And this is like, it's the lights are so much brighter now.
That they are. Do you see their, what do they call it?
Oh, their Midnight Madness.
Their Midnight Madness. Yeah, Blue Bird. Yeah. Just every possession he was dunking. Like, they weren't playing tough defense, but whatever the case might be. As I made reference to earlier, as teams are going to be rigging for Wiggins this year in the NBA, at least 10 teams are trying to get him. There are a bunch of new coaches. You see this major turnover in the NBA with 13 new, or I don't want to say 13 new coaches, but they're in 13, there are 13 teams who have new coaches.
Lionel Hollins isn't any of them. Sorry.
Don't diss.
I'm not dissing. I'm just making an observation.
Don't diss. My man should have a job. Including, eight or nine new coaches for the first time coaches?
But that tech goes into exactly what you're saying, because the very same reason why Lionel Hollins isn't a coach, because they're all tanking or rebuilding. Or
so they're
going to
get young coaches
exactly
who don't have the resume or cachet that Lionel Hollins has. But this is a watershed year for the NBA, to me, in a way. Because of the turnover, because of players that we grew up knowing are slowly but surely leaving the league, right? Yeah. You're going to see a new NBA with Adam Silver as the commissioner. And some of the stories to follow this year, including who's going to, you know, rig for Wig.
Right.
Are, you know, one, Derrick Rose. If you had one word to describe what you expect from Derrick Rose this year, what would it be?
I think Derrick Rose.
That's more than one word.
I know. But I guess because I was never. Derrick Rose is a great player.
We had this conversation.
I think he will return to his. I think he'll be like 90% of his former self.
You know how psychological the preseason game between the Pacers and the Bulls was the other night?
It's a whole year.
It's psychological. It means something. That Derrick Rose played in his first game since then, and everybody perceives that the Pacers are the best team, not named the Miami Heat, in the East. So when he comes back with no Joe Noah, they had the indomitable Nazir Muhammad in the middle,
right,
starting for them, and they beat, like, they convincingly beat a full squad of the Indiana Pacers.
Just focus on him being back on the floor. Don't talk about beating the Pacers. That's the preseason game.
Okay.
But talk about how important it is for him to be playing.
The psychology behind it.
I agree with you. I know, but just stop at that. Don't talk about it.
Okay.
But it's important for him. And I mean, I'm glad he took that year off to do it. And, you know, the whole year, training camp, he never faced that kind of defensive pressure or intensity, that because no one's going to go that hard on
him. Yeah, and they're not teammates. So it was good to see. You know, I'm not necessarily a Derrick Rose fan either, but I want him to come back and be strong and make it competitive in the East.
And I think he will.
Kobe Bean Bryant, what's going to happen with him and your Lakers?
They're fucking so shitty.
What, you're not on the Rob Sacre train?
The Chris Kaman train? Did you hear how they bought a cow?
Yes. I posted the other day on our Facebook. Anyways, not mad at them for buying a cow.
I know, but their team is, those guys are in trouble. I'm curious to see how Kobe comes back. He said he's not back for regular season, which is obvious.
He said he needs 3 weeks.
Yeah, but he also said he was going to be back for regular season too. Right. So I'm glad that, you know, he's getting pushed back. He's going to perform. He's not going to be the same Kobe, but he's going to be pretty close, I think.
We're going to have those, remember Kobe used to be able to do this nights this year. And then we're going to have some, look, he's not the same guy. I know medicine is great now and everything. He's been rehabbing and his determination. Of course, he called Lance Armstrong and, you know, hit his man up in Germany. And they went and spun the blood cells or whatever they do in his knees. And they brought him back. But
my concern is more that, I mean, like, he can't do it all. And he doesn't have the players to help him. I mean, Gasol's going to have a good season this year. Nash is getting older. Relying on all these other guys.
Can OKC rely on Kevin Durant to help them start the season and stay competitive until Russell Westbrook gets back?
Great question. Moot point. A healthy Westbrook, a healthy lineup, how good are they in the Western Conference at the end of the day?
They have nothing on the bench. They have no third score, unless they're counting on Ibaka to step up. And I think he's too in love with his jumper now.
Yeah. And even still, like, Ibaka's a solid player. But they don't have James Harden. Like, so is this James Harden trade, does it backfire for them in a sense?
Well, we'll find out this year, because are you speaking about fired? Scott Brooks could be fired before the All-Star break. He could be fired before the All-Star break.
Would you fire Scott Brooks?
I'd have fired him two years ago.
But based on how they perform, are you going to put it on Scott Brooks? You can't put it on Scott Brooks.
You can't put it on the players. They're not going to fire the players.
But they look at the lineup. They traded James Harden for Kevin Martin. Kevin Martin's gone. James Harden's gone. They don't have a number three scorer. Lamb is going to be so my point is, who do you know?
You can't make excuses. You have a team that feels like... Right. You know what the NBA is now?
What's that?
The NBA is America. You have the 1%. Every team is the 1%. You have these guys and then the bench guys who are just fighting for those scraps at the bottom.
Yeah.
Who they know they shouldn't be on any NBA team. Like, what team should Xavier Henry ever be on?
Well, that's their
destination. They needed a guy.
Yeah.
So that's who they are right now. And there are a lot of teams that are like that and having these same issues. Dwight David Howard.
I should be posing this question to you. How, because I know you're a fan.
Yeah, right.
How is he going to perform this season?
He's going to be real good, especially if he gives the best tips at the strip clubs. He'll be real good. I don't see how they're going to be successful when this ass clown gets thrown out of a preseason game. The first game he plays in a Houston Rockets uniform, you get thrown out of a preseason game? I guess he didn't leave last year behind. I wonder if Tim Duncan was in the stands trolling him while it happened. Because how do you get thrown out of a preseason game? You're supposed to be the leader, and this is what they count on? It's a sign, believe me. They will not be able to count on Dwight Howard going down the stretch.
So are they a top four team in the Western Conference?
On NBA 2K14, probably. And on paper, yes. James Harden is still the leader of this team.
Right.
I don't know how that's going to work with trying to throw Ashik and Dwight Howard out on the floor at the same time. This is Kevin McHale. Note to Kevin McHale. listen to me, Kevin. Oshik is not Robert Parrish. Dwight Howard is not Kevin McHale. It's not going to work in Houston. Forget about
but
it.
But I think that's more of Daryl Morey's thing. We're not trading him and we're going to play. You know what I mean? Because he's too expensive for a backup center.
No. Wait, they already overpaid him. If they wanted to get more parts that fit into what they want to do with Dwight Howard,
I think
have that, a backup like Oshik is good, but they paid him too much to be a backup.
The problem is that they don't want to say they want to trade him because they want to lose value on him when they try and trade him.
Absolutely.
But they have themselves in a bit of a quandary.
It's not a kerfuffle,
but it's like...
It's a pickle. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Danny Granger.
Really?
Hey, if he comes back and he's Danny Granger...
Oh, come on. Hey.
And he's the leader of the bench. And he's the leader of that bench team.
Danny Granger won't be the... He can't be come back as Danny Granger. And you can say, if Danny comes back and is the leader of the bench, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Because you said,
he's leading them off the bench with Luis Scola, they have one of the best benches in the league.
I'm going to say something blasphemous. You know,
continue.
I'm going to do that. I think the Pacers are going to win the conference this year.
That's not blasphemous.
Well, no, to a man who's you're a consort of the king. So,
but
in your court, it's blasphemous.
Here's the thing, the Bulls won the conference before, too. And what they win?
In the playoffs, they're going to win the conference. That's what I'm saying.
Regular season means nothing. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I want you to clarify.
Yeah, I'm saying that
it's a very real possibility.
It's
a very real possibility. I believe that because we don't know what's going to happen with the guy we're going to talk about next. Segways are for kids. Dwayne Wade and his knees. They mean everything to what's going to happen in Miami.
Does he have a bigger drop off performance wise than Kobe Bryant this year?
Great question. I'm not sure. I think that if he comes back in shape and if he's not playing, I'm sure he's not going to play the minutes he has been playing. But how can you say, okay, he's not going to play the minutes he's playing and his backup is older than he is and Ray Allen, who's 37, came back in the best shape of his. He's playing at his weight when he was at UConn, 197.
Yeah. And supposed to say he's cut and everything. And then the other guy to come in and be... Battier. All the guys are older than him.
So it's not, you know, he doesn't have a young backup behind him to spell him for those minutes. But, you know, the great equalizer, of course.
LeBron James.
Right. So I don't know. Indiana has a possibility. I don't think that Indiana, over the long term, can beat Chicago with Derrick Rose back.
You think, wow, you really think Chicago's going to be that good, eh?
I don't think they're going to be that good. I just think they're going to be... It's something psychological about it. I'm trying to tell you.
See, you know, I'm thinking of Derrick Rose in Chicago before, but, you know, the player who I really like, who I think is still growing on that squad, Jimmy Buckets.
I like Jimmy Butler.
You know, and Noah, he's healthy.
Taj Gibson should be starting. Taj Gibson should be starting.
Who else on that bench? I mean, obviously, who else on the, you know, Nate's gone.
Yeah. Well, they got Tony Snell from New Mexico, a rookie.
Right.
They got Marcus Teague. Yeah, whatever. He's a quality. I guess he's going to be a quality backup somehow. You still have Heinrich, who gets hurt a lot, but he's quality.
Yeah,
you know. So they have solid guys rotation.
But
they're not.
Mike
Dunleavy was somebody they picked up.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last year.
No. What you bring back Derrick Rose? There's no way there's bad to relax.
And that's why I think. But winning the conference. Let them win the Central Division first. Let them win. If they win the Central, I'll give them a better chance of winning the conference.
We'll see.
We will see. Well, as I stated earlier, hold on. We're going home. The Toronto Drakes are here now. Not the Toronto Raptors anymore.
Toronto Drake. The Toronto Rappers?
Oh, I like that too.
Thank you.
Even though there's one. And shout out to the Raptor who blew his Achilles during training camp.
You know all about that.
Yeah. That's an ominous sign, you know?
Yeah, he is the MVP of that squad.
Really? That's not saying a lot, yo.
No, I mean, it is unfortunate. I mean, because he's, from day one, 20 years, almost 20 years, 19 years.
Yeah,
he's always been the guy. There's only one.
And I've seen him with his head off.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. His out of costume.
Out of costume, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't know him
at the NBA event.
Yeah, but I saw him. We did a thing with Tristan Thompson last year, and I'm like, Oh, what's up? He's like, oh, you guys came in. I was,
it's like catching him like he's naked.
Yeah, well, something like that. He had the tail on and the little,
but like, no head.
Yeah, like, no head on. Like, yeah, so he's like, whatever, what's up? But anyway, well, if everyone didn't know,
Drake has been brought on to, what's this, global ambassador
for the global Raptors? Ambassador for the Toronto Raptors. As you know, also, Toronto was granted the 2016 All-Star Game. If you connect the dots, of course, this has a lot to do with it, you know, and introducing another element of fandom to the Raptors and to basketball in Canada.
Which also coincides with the Raptors' 20th anniversary.
It's a lot of, which also coincides with the 125th anniversary of the birth of basketball by a Canadian, James Naismith.
Oh, wow. They didn't play
1891.
That up.
1891. Oh, because, but this but is that, what I do.
You're a historian.
You know, social anthropologist.
Exactly, yes, yes, exactly. Yes. So Drake is not going to be. You know what's bothered me? And now I can't speak on
the. And you were at the press conference?
In the back.
Way in the back?
Yeah, because it was all, hey, Drake. Yeah, it was a mainstream.
Trying to get him to you know, collude, basically.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Alan Simms here, why don't you get some fines? I don't like how the Toronto media has gone up and says, oh, yeah, this is all bullshit because he's not going to lure free agents. Like, come on.
You know he can't do it.
I know, but they're acting like this is the, this is.
Well, that's his job.
Yeah, it's like they didn't get him to look. They got him because, A, the organization needs some cool.
Yes. Okay?
They need to freshen it up. And why not get, as we said, the biggest artist, one of the biggest artists in music right now.
Yeah.
Who is a genuine, you know.
He's a real basketball fan.
He's a basketball fan. And he's also an ambassador for the city. It's not like they're reaching here.
Yeah, but I mean, we know from whence some of this vitriol comes.
Right, of course.
You know, and understanding that, you know, while Drake is not necessarily, you know, the guy that some people would like to see, I guess Paul Anka or Ann Murray would be a better choice. Neil Young, perhaps. Shania Twain.
We're not talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who just made the playoffs.
After four games?
No, I mean, no, last year.
Oh, I'm talking about this year.
No, but it's like, they just made the playoffs, and now they're off the hook. And it was like, how many years before they had it?
Right, since 67, whatever. But congrats to Drake, man.
Yo, congrats to Aubrey. He gets
a lot of, yeah, oh, he has the office there and everything.
Yo.
I need to check that office out.
For real. Have a meeting.
Well, from the major leagues to the minor leagues. As a matter of fact, the minor league.
Uganda.
Our favorite place for minor league or for little league baseball. There's a question asked by Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports.
Yep.
Should little leaguers get paid to play?
But they're little leaguers. They're kids.
No. When you play like regular little league or whatever, you shouldn't get paid.
Right.
When you go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and you play in this spectacle that is the Little League World Series on television, where Disney and ABC and ESPN are making gobs of money on the backs of these young people. Have you heard this story before, people?
Yes. Sounds like the NCAA. It would be. But it's worse because they're kids.
Well, all right. So if you want to pay them, and Wetzel put it, you know, if you don't want to call it pay, call it scholarships or bursaries or whatever the case might be, set them up so they can go to school and have a life after baseball. Some of them might not go into baseball as a profession. But because they play in this and they're a part of it and you made them like part of what you do advertising wise and perpetuity, these kids have no rights if you use their face and image on anything you use to promote the World Series, they get nothing.
To give some scope, Little League Baseball, the organization, according to its recent federal tax filings, turned a $2.8 million profit in 2012 on $24.5 million revenue.
And it finished the year with $78.5 million in assets.
So it's not like there's a lack of funds to pay these kids even a stipend.
So the idea was ESPN's pay $4 million to broadcast 32 games, right? If each player on each team got $750 every time their team appeared on TV, that's just $672,000.
That's not a lot of money. $672,000 in the grand scheme is not a lot of money.
Right. And easily, and that's for the whole team, right? Every time they appear on TV. No, that's for the whole league. That's for the whole thing.
Yeah, that's for the whole
thing. It's not even a million. So if they walk away and they have a couple of thousand dollars towards school, whatever. and has to be used towards school.
Well, no,
or put it in trust. I get that. I'm with that.
The league is making money off the children. They should get compensated. Same thing we talked about.
So the NCAA should set up trust for all the players in major revenue sports in the same way, or have a tiered system where, like, the badminton team and the
it should be a tiered system.
Football team.
We'll probably get to that later on.
Okay, cool.
But little leaguers, man.
Yeah.
The fact that ESPN has a $4 million TV deal for Little League baseball is crazy.
Everything is for sale.
Everything. And it's not even the young ones that have a price, but the old ones are for sale as well.
Word to the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase.
Or the $100 million man,
Lennox. So if you haven't heard, former
heavyweight champion.
He was undisputed when he retired.
Yeah, but
undisputed heavyweight champion, Lennox Lewis, has been offered, at the age of 48, well over 300 pounds now.
Because he's been retired for
years. Has been offered $50 million to fight one of the Klitschko brothers.
Right.
Who are dominated, no matter how boring they are, dominated the heavyweight division.
So he said, actually, I think he said, I would do it for $50 million.
Yes.
And they said, hey, what's talk?
Well, he says in negotiation, right?
Right.
Now.
So now he's like, well, I would do it for $100 million.
Yeah, because he knows who he is, and he's saying, I don't know if I'm going to let go of my legacy of retiring as the undisputed champ for $100 million, but if I was in that position, nobody would remember that you were undisputed when you left.
Exactly.
Take that $100 mil if you can get it.
Well, when he's saying he could be ready to fight in 6 months, he's definitely thinking about it.
Well, he's bugging too. Also, at the age of 48, I don't think he'll be ready in 6 months.
No.
And if they give him, I can see the Russian billionaire who gave Vladimir,
right,
like $17.5 million to fight Povetkin last week in Russia. Like, if he's going to pay him that kind of money, I can see this happening.
Well,
but how bad is it in boxing that you have to exhume a dead body like Lennox Lewis to fight these guys, the Klitschko's, because the heavyweight division is so morbid.
And that's the thing. And you know what? The shining piece is always the heavyweight division. And we know it's been very quiet for a while. And no matter how crazy this fight sounds, it would garner a lot of attention. And there hasn't been any pep in the heavyweight division for a long time.
It won't be any pep for a while. You know, it won't be pep like we saw in the John Bone Jones, as I mix metaphors and mix fistic arts.
As well as elbows.
Right. When we were talking about John Bones Jones and Alexander Gustafsson, who fought here in Toronto at UFC 165, if I'm not mistaken.
That was a good fight, man.
It was one of the best UFC fights I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That a guy who was considered, after Anderson Silva, the best fighter in the world, got those things put on him a little bit. But showed the heart of a champion in the final rounds to come back and get a very close decision.
Do you think he won?
Yes.
Okay. Because I thought
he won three rounds to two, which would be a 48-47 score, which is one round one way or the other. I wouldn't have been mad at a draw, but the judge who scored it 49-46, which had four rounds to one, for Jones, is bugging.
Right. For sure. He did not dominate that match.
Gustafsson's hand game was nasty.
And he took some serious, serious blows.
Both of them did. Yeah. And what I liked about Gustafsson is that he didn't complain. He says, I'm not the judges. I didn't do enough to win the fight. Down the stretch, I did get tired. He did tag me in the fourth and fifth rounds. And that was the difference in the fight.
Yeah. And he knows that he was in that fight. And you know,
Jones, he's not going to get the immediate rematch either.
No, he's not. Dana's not giving it.
They took that. No, Jones. No.
Yeah.
Dude, he couldn't eat barbecue for a week after his lip. Everything was crushed up.
Oh,
he was done.
Well, you saw that photo in the hospital, obviously.
Yeah, that was. I thought that was classic that they both took the picture together.
Yeah.
But it's also like, dude, I came to the hospital. Look at my face and look at yours.
Yeah, and you're laying down. You have the belt.
Subliminals.
Exactly.
Well, the biggest subliminal of, you know, I guess, the week after that, or a couple of weeks after that, on September 14th, happened in Las Vegas on Mexican Independence Day. with Floyd Money Mayweather, completely wiping out his so-called last greatest threat, Canelo Alvarez.
Disappointing.
Why?
Because, as you said, so-called last greatest. It wasn't.
They say that about everybody, though.
Yeah, I know, but didn't you think it would be Canelo put up a better fight than that?
To be honest with you, I thought he would put up a better fight, but I also know he was very green going into the ring against a guy who, it's scary how good he is and how smart he is. And I think the move back to his father for defense has been epic in these last two bouts for him.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I actually thought that it was going to be a fight, but it wasn't much of a fight.
And now, you know what, the problem with being so good now is that no one will want to pay to see him fight these lesser opponents.
Because they know what's...
All right, they can say, all right, so Danny Garcia, who will be coming up in weight to try and fight Floyd, has a chance. Everybody has a chance.
Yeah.
Canelo had a chance. This is one guy who minimizes your chances greatly. Before this fight, in every fight, Canelo connected on 43% of his punches. In the fight against Floyd, 19%. And he's standing right in front of him for most of the fight. Yeah. How can you connect 19% of the time and on a guy, for the most part, who is standing in front of you? Money. Who's just so elusive and so slick. And plus, say what you want to say, when you get punched in the mouth, you think twice about firing off.
Of course.
And people talk about, Floyd didn't knock this guy out. He didn't knock this guy out. You're hitting somebody hard enough to make them not want to punch you.
Exactly.
That must be...
And not take another punch.
Hey, you don't want to keep tasting blood.
Does he finish his deal?
Oh, he's going to finish this deal.
So he's going to fight whoever wants to
His
fight
homie's trick said, son, finish your breakfast. Keep that in mind.
I'm not saying that. I mean, obviously Florida's getting paid, so that's not an issue.
Dude, he's always
going to be paid. And he's not going to be worried about getting tagged by anyone.
No.
But there's no one really, there's no challenges.
Well, this is what we're trying to find out. I knew the next person he was going to fight was going to be able to speak English. That's not a diss to Canelo or anybody else that doesn't speak English. But either it's going to be Danny Garcia or it'll be Amir Khan. It looks like Amir Khan, who doesn't deserve the fight.
No.
But because he can sell these tickets.
Right.
And this is a business.
It's going to be Amir Khan's getting knocked out.
Yeah, he's going to get knocked out. Because everybody, speed versus speed. Okay. They say the same thing about Zab Judah, who is at least he was an undisputed welterweight champ before. Fought Floyd and fought him well. In the beginning of the fight, and then Floyd figured it out, and then it was over. Because Zab stopped jabbing because you get hit in the mouth.
Exactly.
It'll happen the same way will happen to the paper mache chin of Amir Khan.
Sorry, Russell Peters. Your boy's going down.
They always say that boxing is dead now that when Floyd, who was, I guess, considered by many the last great prize fighter.
Right.
That boxing is dead. That hip-hop is dead. That football is dead. And we'll get to that later. I'm foreshadowing just a little bit. But how can it be dead if people are still going to come out and there are a lot of young champions that people want to see be the next face of boxing? MMA has taken a huge part of their crowd, for sure, because of the combat and the necessity to go out and just swing. Right?
Yeah, you're not going to see a defensive, MMA, you have to engage. You have period. To. That's just the nature of the fight.
But here's the thing. In boxing, boxing is about the sweet science. There's a science to it. To hit and not be hit. The Marquess of Queensbury rules. They don't have those same rules.
Yeah.
They have the Eric Butterbean Esch. Strongman. Or what was it? The boxing matches they used to? The
Lumberjack?
Tough man.
Oh, yeah.
So you just have to come out and swing. You have to be... I mean, there's some strategy. Don't get me wrong.
So we're talking about the death of boxing. I mean, the sport isn't dead. But I think... I'm not likening boxing to wrestling. But when wrestling was super hot and everyone was into it and watching it...
Who was everyone?
Everyone was watching... Macho Man, Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, that
people
era.
People still watch wrestling?
Right. But see, you can argue that wrestling is dead because it's not experiencing the same heights that it did... At a time when the Hulkamania was in his peak, let's say.
Nothing will ever, there are ebbs and flows to everything.
And that's what I'm saying. Nothing is going to die, but there are ebbs and flows. And right now, boxing is in a low spot because it's
definitely
you got a guy like the Klitschkos, who are boring, dominating their class. Floyd, who's dominating boxing period, and there's no one to fight.
So is boxing America too? We had the 1% winning, and then everybody else is trying to eat. I'm just asking. There's a lot of, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. You talk about Floyd being a diva, and people are saying that, you know, his attitude and it turns them off, and they come out to see him lose. Are they saying the same thing about Jadeveon Clowney of the University of South Carolina, who chose to sit out last week's game?
Listen.
Even though he's a Heisman candidate, should have been he was a Heisman candidate last year, not playing up to snuff this year, and possibly the number one pick in the draft next year.
We talked with NCAA a lot, obviously, hearing how we feel about them, and we're going to, I'm foreshadowing a bit there as well.
Absolutely.
I don't have an issue with a player, like, football schools are machines.
Right.
And they're money machines for their schools. So why are you taking it? Why are you going to, I'm not saying why you're going to risk injury, because every time they set foot on the field, absolutely, they risk injury. But if they're, I'm not at the play and he doesn't want to play, I don't have an issue with that.
Well, I'm going to be the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier here. You know, if Jadeveon wants to come back and play, he can come on back and play when he wants to. I don't know if that actually sounds like Steve Spurrier.
It doesn't, but it does sound like an old football coach.
Old ball coach.
Yep.
Not even football. Old ball
coach. You got them shorts on, boy?
Way up to my stomach, yo. And here's Jadeveon Clowney saying, man, to hell with the ball coach, man. I'm going to get this real provolone out here. Y'all don't only pay me a little bit. Y'all only pay me a little bit. I need to get this NFL dough. But
he's not saying he's sitting. He just
he sat last game. He said he's going to come back.
Step from that game.
And it's funny, you know. You think about the NCAA being, you know, the ambassador of Quan for Johnny Manziel, because they are.
Yeah.
To sit him for a half a game because, you know, he definitely signed those autographs and took money.
Yeah.
Right. They understand that they can't have their Heisman winner be that guy. It's easy to pick on Clowney because he hadn't won anything. And, you know, he should be perceived as, you know, this big, powerful player. They changed the rules for him, like the hitting rules.
Right, yeah.
You know, and he should be playing. He's not making enough money for the NCAA. And it's funny because the NCAA has a foil in one Jay Billis, who went from, you know, he went from one of the biggest NCAA-supported schools in the country in Duke, on the basketball side, and now he's like this advocate for the NCAA or for the players not being used by the NCAA.
He's a long-standing foe and very, very vocal.
Jay Billis is a trillist.
Yeah.
Without question. NCAA's style is played out like Arnold in that What You Talking About, Willis.
He's been calling him out for years.
Oh. He talked about going to buy the Johnny Manziel jersey at Shop NCAA Sports. You know his name's out in the back. You know it's Johnny Manziel's jersey. You know,
and the argument was that, you know, how the NCAA doesn't, like, focus on any players. Like, it's all about the schools and the teams. But if you search someone's name, it comes up.
Well, that goes back to Jalen Rose and talking about, like, he was eating soup out of a can and walking by a Foot Locker and seeing his jersey in Foot Locker and seeing his sneakers they wore as marketed as the University of Michigan sneaker.
Yep.
And they got nothing as a result. So, you know, this fight has been, you know, an ongoing fight. We talked about the Ed O'Bannon suit and everything. What difference does it make if we rail against this like Jay Billis did? What difference?
You know what, though? Part of it, I think, is a bit of an enlightenment, though. Because I don't think there's a level of naivete with some college sports fans.
Well, that's why they're fans.
Right. But they don't want to, they want to watch the game. They want to enjoy the fun. They don't want to necessarily see that these schools are exploiting these athletes and the money they're making and stuff.
They're exploiting them for your entertainment. Are you not entertained? The truth. It goes back to what you just said. Like, some people just don't want to see the ugly side of it. They just want to
see
and be entertained. They want to think about it. But these are human beings and they have rights and they're being exploited. And I think, and we all know, as a former D1 athlete myself, we knew we were exploited. Like, the whole idea of getting a scholarship, whatever.
If Clowney went out and got hurt, they said we'd still find ways to profit off of him.
Yeah.
What if it...
And what if he doesn't go to the NFL? If he insures his legs or his back or his arm with Lloyd's of London, you know, he has an insurance policy. But again...
Keep it true, Mr. Billis.
Yes, you should. Yes, you should. The black QB thing got real a whole lot of burn in the NFL as the season started.
There's so many of them.
Well, there's so many of them starting, or at least there were. Sorry, Josh Freeman. Who might start in Minnesota this week, for all we know. So it might be back. So for the first time in NFL history, 9 black or, you know, African-descended quarterbacks.
Well, I thought we were saying now.
we're trying to find the right politically correct term that they're using. But as far as I'm concerned,
they're black.
Black quarterbacks.
They're black.
They're big. 9 quarterbacks in a 32-team league. Black quarterbacks started opening day of the NFL season this year. And the NFL is passing it off as this golden era of black quarterbacks.
Who's passing? Is it the media or is it the league?
I think it's a combination of things. You have to sell the league. Okay. You have to sell the league. And everybody makes more money. The more you can create great stories around the NFL and about diversity and everything else, you know, and about this dispelling old myths about the black quarterback doesn't have the mental capacity to handle the rigors of the position. And that's not true, now, of course.
Now, did that myth get stemmed? I mean, okay, let's look at it, though. The myth was perpetuated amongst the coaching ranks.
Of course.
Because they were the ones obviously holding them. They were the oppressors.
Come on, dude. Oppressor.
You know what I mean? So, but, you know, as one...
Well, it's not just the coaches. I mean, it's GMs.
Of course, because they want to draft
them. Come on, you know. Yeah. Warren Moon had just won the Rose Bowl over the University of Michigan. It made me cry. And he didn't get drafted by one team. Not a look.
Yep.
And he was a pretty good quarterback, as you saw when he came up to Canada and won 5 great cups.
And then in Houston, he'd
be doing his work.
Exactly. But
you talk about Doug Williams, you talk about Marlon Briscoe, you talk about James Harris, you talk about Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb. Like, what golden era are you talking about? So it's being sold. We're being sold on this idea that this is a great accomplishment, but come on.
So you're saying you don't think it is a golden era?
No, that's media, yo. That's not. I'm happy that I see. You know what? I want the best quarterback I can find, and that they happen to be black, and that the read option was the flavor of the month last year, and it's still being utilized this year.
Right.
And now these quarterbacks are very good. The NFL will do whatever it can to say, hey, look, we're doing better. We're doing better than we did before. But we will never let go of the idea that, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, the field surgeon, and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers are these cerebral quarterbacks who use their minds and their great cannon arms to win games. And these other quarterbacks are not thought of as cerebral. They're thought of as athletes.
Which goes back to that whole...
So what are they actually changing?
Sports analyst thing when we talk about, you know, and I'm going to go to basketball because we always tend to go back there, when they'll talk about Steve Kerr as a really smart player.
Gritty, gutty, Scotty Skyle.
Like, exactly, right? Versus like the athletic guy. And it's that whole...
He's a freak. It's the truth.
I saw my, it's true.
It must be in the announcer's handbook.
It must be in the announcer's handbook.
Did you see this guy? He's a freak. He's not a guy who, you know, he got a 4.0. He, you know, he makes all the right reads. He can throw great passes. This game with Russell Wilson, young guys, and Andrew Luck. Great game last week between the Colts and the Seahawks. They could not stop gushing over Andrew Luck being a possible MVP before the rest of them. How cerebral he was because he went to Stanford. They use his big words. Like, Rick Riley was impressed because he said annulled. I'm like, slow it down, dog. But Russell Wilson was his equal on the field that day. I mean, they lost the game.
Yeah.
But... He had to be smart enough to make the plays to keep them in the game.
And those quarterbacks will never get credit for doing what Luck can do and more.
Yeah, because you have... And more. Like you said, You have to do and more, and you're still not exactly equal.
It's like, I can pass in the pocket like you. I can also run on the field like you.
But. And there it is. You know, as we talk about but, let's talk about the dirty, rotten scoundrel in Washington, D.C., Daniel Snyder, and his fight to maintain his racist name of the Washington, D.C. football club. Since I guess it's taboo for us to say.
Is there a football club, though, called D.C. Washington, D.C. football club?
No, they're called the Redskins.
No, I mean, as in the footy club.
I have no idea.
Because if it's an MLS team called the Washington, D.C. football club.
I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm just saying.
Real football dog.
Who will never, and you can put that in full caps, change the name of the team.
Why? He has the second, because Robert Griffin III, they sell, I think, the second most team jerseys of any team in the NFL. Their merchandise alone, I think, is $145 million a year, something crazy like that. I'm not talking just jerseys. I'm talking about their merch.
Exactly.
Why would he give away or change the revenue structure of that to make them the Washington Warriors or... Because there's some good names.
Yeah, but the name is like, let's play a game. If this was called... I'm not going to go to different epithets, but if this is a derogatory to blacks, Jewish, this would be a non-issue.
Why?
The name would have been changed by now. Because no one cares about the Native Americans.
Clearly. Because, well, here's the thing, though. All right. When you have the university, universities are different because if they get land grants or money from the state, not that NFL teams don't get money from the taxpayers of their cities, but we won't go there right now.
Right.
But when you think about teams like the Cleveland Indians or the Kansas City Chiefs or the Atlanta Braves, whatever the case might be, if you think about a chief, is it racist or is it like an exalted position?
Well, I think that's the difference between, although...
Just stay with me on this. Like, if you say the Cleveland Indians, okay, is Indian a derogatory term?
No.
Okay. Is chief a derogatory term? Chief is a term of respect.
No.
Right?
I'm gonna Blackhawks?
Braves, Blackhawks. They're Blackhawks Indians.
No.
All right? Braves.
No. Now,
Braves is a slippery slope to a degree.
Well, I mean, it's a tribe, right? No?
No, I don't
Braves think so. Are a tribe? Okay.
No, then, it's just like a name.
Well, okay.
But, and that's why I say it's slippery.
Gotcha.
Because I don't see it necessarily as being bad or good. It just is. But Redskins is something totally different. And if you want to, I think the Oneida Nation is involved in the whole conversation. If you want to, I guess, glorify or honor Native Americans, then why don't we call them the Vespucci's? Because America apparently was only America once Amerigo Vespucci came here, who the country is named after. So unless they call themselves the Washington Originals or the Washington Aboriginals, you know, it's never going to honor who they are.
And going back to the other team names you threw out, like, let's look at the Cleveland Indians.
Okay.
We don't feel that name is derogatory, but their mascot, if you look at the hat, the smiling Indian, that's...
I get it. Absolutely. Right, exactly. I get that part.
But let's focus on the Redskins. So because of the fact that it's a derogatory term, I mean, he owns a team. Technically, no one can make him change.
No.
And he obviously doesn't care to.
Well, dude who bought the team in the first place, who had a birthday, and I didn't want to talk about him, George Marshall,
right?
Straight up racist, like blue blood racist, could care less about the Redskins and all that, and whether it's politically correct
because
or not.
This is not an old discussion.
No, it's been going on for quite some time now. Someone made the argument that if they called them the Washington Americans, that they can keep the logo. And I thought, okay, I get it. Does it change how people see it? Much like the Indians, the Chiefs, the
you know what's
Braves.
Funny, though? Out of all the logos, I have the least issues with the Redskins logo. I have issues with the Blackhawks logo. I have issues with the Braves logo. Because they are more on the...
I think the Indians logo is the worst of all of them.
No, I agree with you. But I think the Redskins is the least offensive, air quotes, that as opposed to the Braves, Indians, the Blackhawks.
Well, the Blackhawks, what's wrong with the Blackhawks? Because it looks like a...
It's a little cartoony, you know what I mean? Okay. Once you make it cartoony, it's kind of like...
Does it look like Eli Cody, the guy who used to cry because you littered in America? I'm just asking.
As soon as you said it, it came up.
Is that why you have an issue with it? Because why can't Indians smile?
Because it's a coon smile, dog.
No, it's a coon. It's extra, of course.
It's extra, and it's not
so
that
it's a coon smile.
Dude, there's a lot of teeth up in that.
Okay, cool, whatever. Maybe you had good dental care. Who knows? All I'm saying is that if you really want to honor it, call them the Americans. I can live with that.
Yeah.
And this, I guess, is it more about the logo or is it about the name?
The Redskins is about the name.
Okay.
But I just said the irony.
If you change the name
to
Americans, would it change anything about the way people felt about it?
I don't think it would, only because people, even though you change the name, people still associate that logo with the Redskins.
Well, see, this is the thing, and let me put you up on some Stringer Bell real quick.
Please do.
Because you have to, even if you have that stepped on shit, if you change the cap on it, you can still sell it to the smokers, right? They're going to sell no matter what they change the name to.
Right.
It's just a matter of what Daniel Snyder cares about, which we know is money.
Right.
And if there's no precipitous drop off in what he will make, and if people agree with the Americans, but they keep the logo, it is what it is. And if you guys have an issue or what do you think about what we just said, please, by all means, write us at allballsdon'tbounce@gmail.com.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because we could go.
But, you know, as we talked about the season going on, Peyton Manning having a career year.
Ridiculous.
You know, 20
gritty
touchdowns.
Guy. Gritty cerebral
passer. Yeah, he is. He is, of course. He's the prototype for a great regular season quarterback.
Oh.
Always the body blows. I have to go with my man.
There you go.
Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. But anyway, shout out to Peyton Manning for having an incredible year. It's almost like it is video game numbers now for him.
It is.
And it's going to increase when they go on their bye week game against the Jacksonville Jaguars with the biggest spread in NFL history of 28 points. And there's this Twitter war that's going on between the Jags and the Broncos. I don't know whether the Jags are even talking. I know they have pride and they're men.
Yeah, but they know it's just...
Dude, Blaine Gabbert is your quarterback.
How much can you stop the bleeding, really? Because it's going to be a blood drive.
Oh, it's not even going to be stop the bleeding. You can't put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound, yo. It's not going to happen. So best of luck to all of them. Maybe they can use a guy in their secondary because their secondary is going to get toasted all night. Maybe they can use a guy like Kerry Rhodes. You know who Kerry Rhodes is?
Yeah, Kerry Rhodes got a bum deal by a friend, one of my favorite, or I should say, least favorite websites in the world.
What?
Media Takeout. It's an atrocity.
We're not even talking about that.
No, I got to talk about that's what started. Because Media Takeout posted pictures of him with another guy. Close. Questionable.
And the other guy was confirming their close and questionable relationship.
Right. Which everyone led everyone to believe that he was gay.
Right. Which has what to do with him playing football and picking off passes for, you know, the Jets or any other
and
team
in
the league.
And proven he can still do that at an official level in the
Absolutely.
League.
Absolutely.
Between you and I, nothing, of course, but he's still unemployed.
Do you think he's being blacklisted?
I thought you were going to say something else.
What? Because when I said he's got no love, or is it same love? Shout out to Macklemore.
I wonder, because like you said, the Jags could use him.
A lot of teams could use him right now.
And it's not like he can't play. And it's not like he's got, you know, like he didn't get busted for shooting gunshots at a party or driving with.
So is this the same thing as Jason Collins not getting a job in the NBA?
No, because Jason Collins can't really contribute at that level at this point in his career.
But your man Kerry Rhodes can.
Which means that's why it's a question mark.
Well, you know, there are a lot of question marks with the NFL right now, including them deciding that they want to start testing players for HGH.
Right.
And one of the players who, you know, came back from horrendous injury and in beast mode. Not Marshawn Lynch, but AD all day, Adrian Peterson.
Ridiculous.
The NFL, the reigning NFL MVP, said that accusations about him using HGH or whatever make him feel good.
It's a compliment to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, test me.
Please test him.
Like, if it's I can't believe it's not butter.
But but here's the worst part, though. Is this HGH testing by the NFL a violation of the new CBA that they created with the players?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question, but obviously if it's something that's going to happen, probably not. I mean, because they would, like...
Well, they have to agree to it, and if you have your MVP, the best player in the league...
Yeah, but him saying test me is different than the head of the...
You don't think they'll leverage that?
Of course they'll leverage it, but if they're gonna fight that one, just like Chris Paul's fighting in the NBA.
What?
The players.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like the players don't want that. And honestly, like, and I don't want to get ahead of it, but even the next story we want to talk about is even crazier.
Well, we're here. You know, one hand is washing the other.
That they want to test the players, and they also want to test ex players, like guinea pigs.
That's not going to happen.
But yeah, these guys aren't signing.
But, you know, all they have to do is say, we just gave you $765 million. You should give us, like, a little love.
What they should have done is said, we'll give you $75 million if you let us do that.
Right.
But after the fact, it's like, hey.
That somebody's still going to step out and take some money from the NFL and let them test them.
Oh, hell yeah.
But what does that have to do with anything if they're not playing anymore?
Yeah, what is that proving?
If you take HGH when you're done, it doesn't matter.
Fine. Because they're not playing. There's no advantage.
Well, you talk about concussions. Nobody's safe. And that's a big button issue and a big button topic in the NFL, concussions. And for sure, you don't even have to play to catch a concussion at an NFL game like Pam Oliver did on the sideline.
Unfortunately.
Like, people laugh and they make jokes about her wig, but she got hit in the head by an errant pass. And she had a concussion, and we make jokes about it, but it's a serious thing.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I wasn't aware she had a concussion until after, but, you know, when you see it, it's like, oh. Well, I mean,
that's what happens, right?
How many highlights you see where the sportscasters get hit by a basketball, football, soccer ball, and it's like, But, you know, she had a concussion, and, you know, reading the story and how she felt, you know, was probably very much like a lot of athletes who are wearing full equipment getting concussions.
Or leave after the game. And like, oh yeah, it's just a headache. It's just got a stinger. I just got the wind knocked out of me. Whatever the case might be.
But they're not telling that story. They're not telling, I mean, she's a sideline reporter and she's saying how like ambient light was so painful for her. And to think of it, you're an athlete. You can't complain, say, oh, the light bothered me.
Well, for years, the NFL has been denying that there's any link between concussive activity on the field and concussions in the players. Concussive activity, which would be tackling and hitting and aftershock after you get tackled and everything else. And there's no connection to that and possible brain damage when you leave the gridiron.
Well, that's why they had to give up that line of thinking because no one was buying that.
Well, they're not giving it up. They've never admitted to it and they still haven't, even in spite of the fact that, you know, people thought that they strong-armed ESPN. Most recently,
thought they did.
Did they strong arm or not?
They strong arm ESPN. ESPN's not going to say that,
of course.
But it's very clear because when you're involved in the production of this documentary, and which the findings of it, which we'll get to in a moment, are going to be detrimental to their hypothesis.
Well, the League of Denial, which is a documentary that came on PBS, we actually posted the whole thing.
Yep.
On our Facebook.
There you go. It's on the internet.
And the autopsy that changed the NFL and changed football, actually, was the one that Dr. Bennett Omalu did in Pittsburgh on Mike Webster. And he played with the steel curtain, even though he was on the offensive line on the other side of the steel curtain. They didn't play each other, of course. He was the center, and he died at 50.
50 years old.
And he died homeless, living in his car, you know, all kinds of memory loss and everything else. And this one doctor who did the autopsy became a pariah to the NFL because they didn't want this information getting out.
Yeah.
And soon it spread so much that another party came in, Dr. McKee and Chris Nowitzki, a former wrestler and football player at Harvard.
Right.
Had a study group at Boston University who came in and tried to support more of, and I kind of took over from Dr. Omalu, who was discredited by the NFL because they have to protect the shield at all times.
Of course.
Paul Tagliabue was the commissioner at the time. His second in charge when he decided to retire because the heat was coming. There was a lot more incidents that was that were happening, including Terry Long, number 74, episode, who also played in Pittsburgh, who had the same thing as Mike Webster, killed himself drinking antifreeze.
Wow.
So you see all these players, and then the most visible one of all, of course, Junior Seau, killing himself and finding out that through all these reports, and I don't want to give too much away from the movie. Right.
Because it's a worthwhile watch, without question.
Oh, no doubt. That Dr. McKee found then 46 patients whose brains she studied, 45 of them had CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, right? And that's a pretty good, even with a sample size, that number is pretty high.
That's a very, very high number.
What the NFL is saying is that if you had steroid users, if you had drug users or abusers, if you had alcoholics, those things could happen as a result of those, that CTE could have happened because of that. So it's inconclusive that it happened because of concussions.
But the CTE also would lead to drug use, alcohol abuse.
Right.
So.
And here's the thing. Even though they admit no wrongdoing, they gave up $765 million to over 4,500 players who sued the NFL for this signs of CTE, and that they were misled about the concussive, I guess, results of playing football professionally.
As long as they maintain that they have nothing to do with it.
Protect the shield at all times.
But that's, you can say what you want, but it's still an admission of guilt in a sense. Because, if we had a car accident and I said, I didn't hit you, I did nothing wrong, but I give you $1 million.
You did something wrong.
I'm obviously saying I did something wrong.
Well, the players actually sued for well over $2 billion, with a B, $2 billion.
Yeah.
And the NFL initially didn't want to give them anything.
Yeah, they're like, fuck you.
And but they gave them, the fact that somebody can say with a straight face, we're going to give you $765 million, like it's nothing. Monopoly money.
Dude. And the whole, that's so scary, because if you can give some, like, you, that means.
Dude, the way the whole thing is set up, if you watch the film, you'll see it like the mob. I'm dead serious. Like, if you look at Goodell, was the son of a senator who worked in an NFL office. He was Pete Rozelle's driver. It's like Frank Lucas and Bumpy Johnson and shit, right? And he drove for Pete Rozelle. He got a job in the NFL because of Rozelle.
Of course.
He was Paul Tagliabue's second hand. When he left, he ascended to be the king. And everything is about protecting that line, fighting on that line.
And he saw that. He worked with him. He saw that.
He's been there for 24 years.
Yeah.
And these studies have been going on. Actually, there's some other studies that talk about concussions and head trauma back when they started the NFL back in the 20s.
Wow.
With the Camden Bulldogs, So.
And we know how good the helmets were back then.
Yeah, they were made out of paper and tape, whatever.
And cellophane.
But was not made out of paper and tape and cellophane? As we wrap.
I would say it's made of steel.
Oh, well, still sharpened steel, as you well know. Here on All Balls Don't Bounce, another great episode. It's been too long.
It feels like 74 years since the last one.
Well, close enough. Mr. Watson, let them know where they can find us.
Since you've taken in this great, powerful episode, definitely be sure to subscribe and download it at
Stitcher Radio.
Check us out. On Tumblr, on Twitter, on Facebook,
everywhere.
ABD Media.
Yeah.
And definitely give us your thoughts and feelings on this episode. Hit us up, allballsdontbounce@gmail.com. You can hit me on Twitter at Bydwin Watson.
And you can hit me at WallStrizzle1, the number one, on Twitter as well. And so I guess for my man to my immediate left,
Dwayne Tweets Watson, the Swishin' Dishin' Condition,
a.k.a. Swiss Franks.
Thank you, sir.
I am the entrepreneurillionaire, Mr. Hold On, We're Going Home.
Only in America.
Only in America. You know what? This episode is going to be called Nothing Was the Same. I am the entrepreneurillionaire, Wall Street, Will Strickland, saying to our sonic engineer, Rich Kid, do that thing you do. We do what's popular with the population. All balls don't bounce. Part of the Gone Network. Easy.
Put your game face on. Get ready for the tip-off. First pitch, puck drop. First swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show. We bring the realest in the world of sports. You got to hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you're playing. Forget all the gimmicks because you're speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports. So what's popping? It's four quarters of absolute rawness. It's if you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's.